10.
9.
8.
7.
6. 5.
4.
3.
Oh, is that me?
What, really?
Yeah.
I just forgot, but that's enough. You'll be able to do it from there. We're good.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Free to a Good Home. My name is Michael Heng and I'm joined, as always, by a man who just told me he had to be very sedate lest he wake his sleeping bub. It's Ben Jenkins. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
So explain to us this situation right now.
Okay, so the situation is currently, I've never done one of these while Mo has been asleep.
Uh-huh.
Partly because, I'll tell you what, guys, he's not sleeping very much. So, law of averages, getting those things to line up. But secondly, I've never really noticed that we have an upstairs and downstairs, not to boast in this house, but we do have an upstairs and a downstairs.
Downton Abbey over here.
And I'm just realizing now, through a series of texts from my wife, that this podcast is coming loud and clear through the floor into his bedroom, and he's enjoying this content whether he likes it or not. He's circumventing iTunes to get this, and that's not good for our numbers, and that's not fair.
Well, I'll be sure to send him an invoice for his Patreon that he owes us. We are also joined today by two very special guests. One of whom just told me he didn't remember the last episode of this he did. It is Tim Batt and Guy Montgomery, who we'd know from New Zealand, I guess. Hello, guys. How are you going?
G'day, Hangs. G'day, Ben.
How you doing, guys?
Look, I can only speak for myself when I say I'm doing pretty well, actually. What I'm enjoying is that I don't have to put on a sedate persona for a podcast record.
No.
I can't imagine a sort of more challenging situation to relax and be fun and be funny than a stream of texts from my wife telling me to rein it in because my baby's sleeping directly beneath me.
It's really, I got to tell you, man, it's the podcasting dream.
It's like we get the energy up, we get it cooking, we get it bubbling, and then you come in and suddenly it's this weird ASMR of, like, for these people who have this very specific desire to listen to, like, very gentle domestic tension as told by one member of the relationship.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking great. do you know what I was going to do, though? What I was going to do, which I kind of think I might still do, actually, is just go into my car, because my car's parked out the front, right? And it's got, like, it's close enough that it has good access to our internet. So I could just go into the car.
Ben, do it. What are we doing here? That's so cool.
Wait. But if you go into your car, just before you do this, if you go into your car, aren't you not allowed to just be in your car right now? Like, aren't we all meant to be? We're all in our separate houses right now. If you go into your car and the cops come by and they're like, what are you doing?
This is like the drink driving thing, isn't it? Can you be wasted parked in your car?
If you're sitting in the passenger seat, it's all right, I think. Or potentially more suspicious.
Are you talking about podcasting now or being drugged?
Either or. As far as I can tell, Ben's working on both.
Now, this is very unexpected, but let me paint a picture for the listener. Ben, I expected to abandon his big microphone because it's in some sort of home studio. But in fact, what he's done is dismantled the arm carrying it, and he's cutting the entire thing off to the exterior of his property. This is tremendous podcast work that could only be pulled off by a true professional.
Okay, here we are. Okay, here we go.
And kudos to your internet connection for not cutting out throughout all this. I thought it would have been done by now, but
maybe I can just do it in my garden. Hang on a second.
If you're in your
beautiful day out there, by the way.
Oh, it's charming, man. It's what we call a golden Sydney day. How's that?
Oh, that's so nice. You are so relaxing to be around now.
I'm gonna take my sweater off.
Yeah, I can also just hear that finally Ben is finally bringing some fucking charm and energy to this, where previously he was just really sucking it dry.
Really, That's a real. I mean, like, my concern is the breeze now, but if you guys aren't hearing that, then we're golden.
Yeah, I think we're all good.
I feel like at this time in life, people would kill for a little bit of Atmos in the background of their podcast. The sound of the outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely.
My God.
You know, a lot of podcasts would sort of cut this technical bullshit from the top of the show. Not us, though. Not us, though.
This is the show.
This is the show. It's us setting up for 45 minutes what we're going to do on the podcast and then breezing through the end before we
guys,
call
it's
it
so
quits.
Nice to be out here. Now,
like, now you're just... Now you've got this giant... arm that traditionally would attach to a desk or yep, a wall, yeah. But instead you're yep. just having to hold it with your own arm.
So it looks like you've got a third-party sound operator lowering a boom into the frame of the shot.
This is a union. What we're doing is a union shop here. You've really got...
I'm just going to screenshot what's going on. Okay, here we go. It's free to a good home, guys.
Tim and Guy, I'll start with Guy. Since you were last on the podcast, what have you been up to? Because I think last time you were on our show, you admitted to a terrible thing that you immediately regretted, which was holding your dick to see if you could piss through it or something.
No, that is
no.
not. That is
no, it was
not
pulling on your dick to make yourself fart.
Nope, again, you've completely got that wrong. You've completely Berenstain Bears this.
What the fuck?
Because also just holding your dick to see if you can piss through it. I mean, like, I don't even know what that means, but that's not that bad, right?
the way you described it, Hang, the chaos I was imagining was like squeezing it
yes.
front on,
yeah,
like a doorknob as tight as you can, and then just having piss trickle through
to see
the loose areas
obviously
in your
you're,
fingers.
You're seeing which was stronger, your grip or the force of your wee. Do you know what
sure.
I mean?
Well, sure. That's not an experiment I personally have dabbled with, no.
What was the thing? What was the, you, well,
I can tell you what it was because I think about it on a fortnightly basis, I'd say. It was him saying, you know when, and he said it like it was totally like, oh, we're going to have a fun, like kind of observational, you know when, everybody does this, when you need to do a fart. And you're worried that you're going to piss yourself when you fart, so you hold your dick when you fart. Was it? Have I got that right?
Almost exactly.
And what was amazing about it was almost immediately, he realized he had made a grave error of judgment in raising this. And the fear went into his voice and into his eyes. But he couldn't stop talking. It was like he'd been activated by the Kremlin. It was like he couldn't stop speaking.
I didn't realize how regular it was, but I stand behind the behavior and the confession. I have not been reached out to by a single listener of yours to tell me that it's normal behavior, but... as far as I could tell at the time, it was the best technique available.
Sure. Also, we had some apprehensions about having Guy on, as he's I don't think I'm sort of overstating it, as an outspoken supporter of the COVID-19 virus. But Hing said,
it's fucked up, eh?
Hing said, it's the marketplace of ideas. You defeat bad ideas with good ideas. Let's have him on.
Look, all I'm saying is if you look at it from the perspective of the virus, it's going pretty well.
I didn't actually appreciate that Hing was such a fan of opening the window to different points of view, because I've got some pretty strong thoughts about George Soros that I've been trying to get off my chest on different podcasts, and this might just be the day.
Yeah. Look, okay, we all get to have one conspiracy theory each.
The HMS Titanic was never sunk. It was the Olympic. It was an insurance job, and it was to get the centralized Bank of America. If you want more, to talk to Carlo Ritchie.
All right. How and just quickly, isolation update. How's everybody going?
Great.
Well, yeah. Hum and I are driving each other mad. Well, sorry, I'm driving her mad.
Okay.
I have to take a week of holiday later on this month. And I was working out the tactful way for me to say, like, oh, hey, I've got to be home for a whole week. You're going to be working from home. You're doing a very important job. I'm just going to be playing the cowboy video game. I think that could be quite annoying. Maybe I'll just go and stay at my parents' house for a week. And I was, like, trying to do it in a tactful way so that she wouldn't feel like I was, you know, not
I think the most tactful way is to raise it on this podcast that she listens to occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope this is a workshop.
I started the pitch by saying, hey, I'm going to have to take a week of holiday in a couple of weeks. And then Hum said, oh, so why don't you go stay at your parents' house? And like she was on it. She was like, yeah, that's fine. Just go. Like,
and
I
in a way,
right.
In a way, that's what you wanted, but not like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like I like a little bit more pushback.
That's like when you build up the courage to go and break up with someone, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna do it, and they say this isn't working, and you're like, no, that's what I say.
Well, hang on a sec. I reckon if we just stuck at it a while,
yeah, we could make this thing work.
Good analogy for the situation that Hing's got with his partner, Monty. That's really good.
Yeah, well, I really had to reach. I had to reach deep for that. But it sounds like things are going great, Hing. You're right in your analysis that isolation's going perfectly for you.
Oh, all right, let's get to the classifieds.
Sure.
So this is one that's taken from Craigslist.
Oh, can I just, sorry, quickly. Yeah. I have a separate problem now that I'm outside.
Yes.
I just want to... Okay, so like if you look over here, that right there is the neighbours, right? Like beyond that hedge. And they have two kids that often play out there. And they're like 6 and 8.
Right.
So I'm going to have to like sort of self-censor a fair bit.
Oh, sure. But they can't
Your
hear...
Your property what, is kids. Lousy with youngsters.
It is, isn't it? They're everywhere.
These
anyway,
kids
so,
can't hear what we're saying, though, so we don't have to self-censor.
No, that's true. No,
but
no, you don't have to at
all. Can
be
as filthy as a sailor.
I'm going to take this opportunity to attack Ben with the most venomous sailor-mouthed insults I know.
All right, Hing, let's start it. Let's go.
All right, so this is taken from the Cleveland West area. Hello to anyone listening in Cleveland. And it's entitled, Skim Milk, Got Milk, Need Any? Question mark.
Okay, so hang on. Can you get, sorry. So, I'm sorry so early in the piece to pull up on this, but could you step me through the punctuation there?
Okay. Skim Milk, capital S, and then all lowercase. Skim Milk, full stop. Mm-hmm. Got Milk, capital G, exclamation mark. And then need any, capital N, question mark. So it's skim milk, got milk, need any?
Okay.
50.
So it's someone. It's not someone searching for skim milk. It's someone who has somehow overbought.
Well, yes. 15 cases.
Ooh.
Skim milk, sell by is today.
Shit.
Shit. Folks that leave numbers, top the list. Rest, reach when have time. Let me know how many kids.
Hang on, what?
What? Let me know how many kids and food in need. Yes, I still have. Post up means have food. Time is precious. Don't have time writing all day. I have kids too.
Okay.
What a pearler.
Question at the top of my list. How much milk is in a case of milk?
Yeah, this guy's units of measure are insane. He's measuring milk not in any kind of like standardized liters or even pints or anything, but in cases. And
children.
He's wanting to measure your need solely in terms of how many children you have.
By the end of it, they've whipped themselves into such a frenzy that they are affronted by the idea of people responding to their listing.
I can't talk to you. I couldn't possibly explain. There's no time for it. Just bring your kids, however many you've got. I'll do a head count and I'll give you a case commensurate with how many kids you got.
What, you think you're the only one with kids? Think again, I got kids.
I got kids. Kids have got milk. Let's sort it out.
Can't move for all the kids and milk I've got in here.
Couldn't swing a dead case without hitting one.
Oh, Christ. Okay, so who could this be good for? I mean, cafes go through a lot of milk, but cafes don't have any children.
So you really what you need is somewhere that needs a lot of milk but has a lot of kids. I'm thinking a Dickensian orphanage,
yeah.
Like in the musical Oliver.
Or Hing, you don't even need to time travel on that. Just children drink milk currently.
Right over right.
Like that's not
no, Hing takes tremendous issue with orphans of the present day. However, in Victorian England his heart bleeds for these kids.
Get a job, present orphans.
The only good orphan is Oliver. No. Is it true? This is my one conspiracy theory that I'm allowed to voice today.
Yeah.
Skim milk. Is it true skim milk is just like half of milk and then the rest of it's water?
You're asking the right guys, Michael.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah. That was one of those things. I think it was on when Guy was on last, actually, where it's like your instinct is to be like, no, that's not fucking true, and call you an idiot, and then we get all these emails. Like when we started like laughing our heads off at the idea that people thought chickens had milk, and then we lost confidence halfway through the bit, and we were like, wait a second.
Chickens don't have milk.
Well, you see, you,
you seem very confident.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you.
See, but,
You seem very confident about that.
I reckon there's a bit of.
They're dinosaurs. Do dinosaurs have milk?
I mean,
some of them.
Yeah. It's not like we're ever going to know. We could never know
now. Never know.
Well, to your skim milk conspiracy theory, Hang, I don't have an answer to that, but I remember I was a very hardline dark blue top milk drinker as a boy. Like I was heavy on the milk. I remember, you know, you come home from a run or you've been running around with your mates and nothing goes down better than a full glass of thick, cold
milk. That is deranged.
Milk.
Unless we're talking about chicken milk, in which case.
Wait, when you am I also misremembering this? Were you also paid to dress up like a cow and travel around New Zealand at one point?
Yeah, I was. I was the anchor mega.
Are those
bull.
Things related?
So I was
at all,
going around.
So
no, totally unrelated. Just meant that I was a very convincing cow, and it was a bull actually, which is insane because obviously bulls don't produce milk. But
bulls
I'd
are in many ways
different...
the chickens of the cow kingdom.
I go around to different sort of these organized like rural agricultural shows, and dress up as this large muscle-bound orange bull. And I'd run kids through athletics exercises to promote calcium-rich milk. Mm-hmm. It was one of the greatest gigs of my life. But my mum must have been doing some reading on milk, and she wanted to wean the family onto light blue top or skim milk. And I would say, no, there's no way I'm drinking that. It tastes too watery for me. It's like having Weet-Bix with water. And she said, okay. And then for a while, we were running two different types of milk in the fridge, and I kept taking from the blue top and pouring the dark blue top and pouring it over my Weet-Bix. And then after 2 months had passed, Mum said, you want to know something funny? For the last 2 months, you've been drinking light blue top milk out of a blue top container, you fucking idiot.
Charlotte Montgomery, that is dastardly.
Yeah, that's
Wow, so how long was your mum running this prank for, running this scheme for?
2 months.
Right, and then did you...
Until she was convinced that, you know, she'd gotten away with it and could say to me, sorry, whether you want to or not, you're off the dark stuff.
Did that mean that she had to keep buying blue top milk, dark blue top milk, tipping it out and filling it with... So the use-by date would...
I like to think, to spite me, that she was necking the dark blue top milk herself.
Oh, that's...
Or is even the most dastardly version of this prank... that she just thought of it one day and just lied to you. Like one day she just thought, oh. I'll just tell him he's been drinking skim milk for 2 months and that'll be the thing that switches him.
That is a brilliant long con for no outlay of effort.
No, I feel like she's too committed to the bit. If that's true, then a lot of my childhood is called into question. Like she was the one who taught me that if you have to fart, you need to hold your dick or cover your vagina.
She was the one to tell you. Fucking hell. Do you want to know what though? Like in terms of who the market is for this, it's honestly me because I cannot resist a bargain. And that is too good to be true. That this guy's got 15 cases. I don't know exactly how much it is. It sounds like a lot.
I mean,
and
15
he
cases.
Has to get rid of it today.
15 cases could be like 24 times 15, right?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, could be 12 times 15, 24 times 15. I mean, we just have no idea. It could be hundreds of liters
hundreds
of milk
of
we're
liters.
Talking about. Yeah.
He's got to get rid of it today. It's a buyer's market. I would get in there with my best offer, which would be low, and then I'd have to figure out what to do with 650 liters of milk.
Yeah, I mean,
he'd probably start panicking, close to desperate for sale.
That's how he got in there. Yeah, Hing, full circle.
Do you remember when we did that sketch show our first year down at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we were struggling to find sponsors, and one of the producers didn't find us cash, which we needed to sort of pay for the rent and the theatre and an accommodation for us to live in, but he did manage to find us 20 litres of ice cream.
This is some Jack and the Beanstalk approach to comedy festivals.
And then he was like,
even in retrospect, even the idea that our comedy festival show required sponsorship is, in retrospect, insane.
Yeah,
it was just what people had told us we had to do.
Well, like
and so we just reached out to literally any.
Well, no, sorry. To be clear, required sponsorship because we were hemorrhaging money. But the idea that anyone would want to sponsor it was the insane thing.
Yes.
This is madness. In New Zealand, what we do for the comedy festival is we pay the registration fee and then we put shows on. Uh-huh.
and how do you get 20 litres of ice cream? Or
I want to know what happened to the 20 litres of ice cream.
I think we ended up having to turn it down because it required so much refrigeration that we were just getting
didn't
mailed.
Have enough space to keep
it's
it.
A poison chalice, isn't it?
guys, we're talking a lot about food. We're talking about a lot of food, in fact. I've got one. We've started doing some stuff from relationships.txt. Not strictly in the purview of the podcast, but what are you going to do? Sue us? Are you actually going to get a lawyer and sue us? Like, is that honestly
the best damn lawyer in business here?
Is that what you're telling us, that you're gonna sue us for doing this? Christ!
Someone who's going through the depths of a relationship crisis has just pushed send on this forum, and then they're like, "Oh, finally, what a weight off my shoulders! I can't wait to unwind by listening to my favorite podcast, Free to a Good Home."
So this takes relationship sort of quandaries from the Reddit sub forum relationships. And there are some good ones. This one is a quarantine themed one. We try to keep things pretty non quarantine focused here, but we just couldn't resist. So, hello. With all that's going on, we have stocked up on supplies, including canned goods. I ordered a few weeks ago 30 cans of beans. 10 of black beans, 10 of kidney beans, 10 of pink beans. Also, I ordered 15 cans of chickpeas. I thought this was a reasonable amount of beans and chickpeas to have every now and again, and that it would last for quite some time. However, last night, I opened the cabinet because I wanted to make vegetarian chili using 2 cans of beans, but all of the beans were gone. What the hell? I asked my girlfriend, and she told me she had buried all of the beans in the woods. At first, I thought she was joking, but she explained no, she had buried the beans in the woods. I asked her to explain, and she told me she was afraid that if things get bad, we might have to worry about looters or whatever, and that the beans would be in danger of being stolen. I said I thought that was completely ridiculous and unlikely. She became angry at me and said... she is protecting our beans.
Bravo.
Hang on, there's more. I said...
What?
I said, why only bury the beans? Why not bury our more valuable items? And she said... canned food was the most valuable for long-term means, since that we can get fresh online grocery deliveries. This was too insane for me, and I got very upset. I demanded to know where the beans were buried, and she refused to tell me. She said that if I knew, she was afraid I would dig the beans up. I said, damn right I would. She said, I will... She said, I will never jeopardize the beans. I crossed the line and said that she was out of her mind. She stormed away and we have not talked since last night.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
So
much to unpack there. So much to dig up from the woods, as it were. This person has buried their partner's beans.
Well, I think they're everybody's.
The
like, I think they're house
beans.
They were communal beans
for her and
they're
him.
Taken, and then buried in the woods.
to protect from looters,
yes,
who will come into the house, sort of like I'm imagining, sort of Michael Haneke Happy Games style, and then demand everything. And she'll be like, yeah, man, take everything in the pantry. That's all we have.
Before we even unpack the prospect of the looters, this partner has done it without conference. They haven't, like, you know, they've just totally taken initiative. They've left no beans for the present day.
No, that's true. You can't even have some non-emergency beans. They've got, by my count, 45 beans, I think.
35. I think the saying goes
30 beans, 15 cans of chickpeas.
Okay, yeah, so that's 45 cans.
But I think that this, just to explain the person's thinking, I think there's a saying that goes, a bean in the hand is worth 45 cans in the woods. I think that's...
This is like, I think, the red dress versus the blue dress visual illusion thing, because this is like the perfect boil down of how a couple can look at one object that is the same and see it differently, because one person in the relationship can look at 45 cans and say, that's an appropriate amount of cans to have in the pantry for day-to-day usage, which I may occasionally dip into to make chili. And another person in that relationship goes, this is a store for doomsday that I need to protect, and I need to do it fully under my own steam, and I need to never relinquish the information of where I have hidden them.
But that's the thing, right? Because it's like she's not just hiding them from looters. She's made it very clear that she's hiding them from him.
He is a looter in this.
Also, she's hidden them in the woods, you guys. How many woods are near this person's home? How big are these woods? The woods are famous for being quite a scary place.
I wonder as well. I mean, I think this speaks to a core problem in their relationship, that
beans.
I wouldn't want to live with someone who I couldn't trust with the knowledge of the location of the beans I'd buried in the woods.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're not willing to tell your boyfriend or girlfriend where you've buried the beans, I mean, really, do you want to be stuck with this person?
There's a world where both of these people can get what they need. It's a communication breakdown. It just needs to be open communication where she says, hey, this is too many beans, I'm having trouble sleeping, I'm really uneasy, I feel like we've got a target on our back. And he says, that's a totally reasonable thing to say. Why don't we negotiate an amount of beans that we can leave in the pantry and a number of beans that you can take and bury in the scraggly woods.
Yep.
And once they find that number, the relationship can move forward. Compromise is where both parties aren't entirely happy with the resolution.
That's so true. And you're right. It's just about taking 45 cans of beans and making one pile of crisis beans and one pile of regular, you know, day-to-day beans. And maybe
you know, and like, not everything in a relationship needs to be split down the middle. If they have a different relationship to cans of beans, I can see where the problem is, though. I was going to say they could be buying beans, they could do independent bean shops. But the issue here is that as soon as there are beans in the house, she's restless.
Now, Guy, in this scenario, when you said we've got too many beans as a target on our backs, when you said that, did you imagine, sort of envision a world in which, I guess, hackers are going through shopping receipts online to work out who's purchased the most beans and then cross-referencing or is it more of a
grim
Skynet situation?
Indeed.
Is it an Amazon Alexa? You know, this is too much big data.
Yeah, do you think that maybe an at-home speaker has been listening to conversations about the beans and then very skillful hackers have been able to access that?
Or alternatively, is this Jeff Bezos going to their house directly with a pickaxe and saying, give me the fucking beans?
You're going way too high-tech. I'm on this woman's side now. What he's done, right, is he's bought 45 cans of beans and he's been walking around town shooting his mouth off about how many beans he and his girlfriend have. You know what I mean? He's wandering around. He's got kidney beans in either pocket and he's sort of throwing them around to people.
He's juggling pink and black beans.
Oh, okay. We're all going to pretend like we're bigger than possessing 45 cans of food and not telling people about it. Ben, you were just bragging about having an upstairs before. That you can't eat an upstairs.
Yeah, and upstairs is the architectural equivalent of 45 cans of beans.
That we need to bury our upstairs in the woods.
I'm saying if you take some dirt from the woods and put it over the top of your house, you'll be in a much better position for the coming months.
You know what I've learned so far? I reckon I'm going to say there's 12 litres of milk in a case and there's 45 cans of beans in a troubled relationship.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's like an old country western lyric, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I lost my girl to 45 cans of beans.
I can't wait to do my next crisis shop with my partner. And when I see her very gently placing the 45th cans of beans in the trolley, I'll touch her wrist and I'll say, no.
That's enough.
Not today. I'll keep you.
Tim or Guy, do you have one you want to share with the class?
I've just dug one up here. The headline is Bank Vault. $5,000. Winchester, Virginia.
A bank vault.
A bank vault. And the picture is, if you can see it, the picture is like it's a concrete block with a giant bank door in it.
Yeah, so what it is, it's a wall, and contained within the wall there is a door to a vault. And the specs are 16 feet long, 11 feet wide, 10 feet tall, solid concrete bank vault, will deliver.
Huge.
Will deliver was a mistake.
Is there more?
Will not respond to any more messages.
This is the milk all over again.
If you're serious, call me. 540-974-6768.
All right, let's game this out.
$5,000 for a bank vault. But the thing, the will deliver was a mistake. Now, are they saying that it was a mistake that they offered to deliver it? Or were they saying, we will deliver this because it was given to us by mistake?
Backspace gone. I commit to, I'm a man of my word. Yeah. Will deliver. That was a mistake. Oh, no. Here's my phone number.
Yeah. Or it's like, will deliver. And then they're like, oh, no, I've said it, so I have to do it. But I want everyone to know that when I deliver this bank vault, I will be doing so begrudgingly. Yeah. So it's like, will deliver. But it was a mistake that I offered that.
Wish I hadn't. If I had my time again, I would have just said, come pick up this bank vault. It's very heavy by design.
This is all like well and good, and we're having our japes and our laughs and our giggles. But how the fuck do you deliver a bank vault?
Well, it seems to be on the back of a truck in the photo.
Yeah, I think it's about the size, if you want to imagine. It's about the size of a shipping container or so. So I think it would fit on the back of a large truck.
I'd actually like to apologize for describing it as embedded in the wall. I see now in the pictures beneath that it is the entirety of the... It's a cube.
Five grand's not bad. You get holed up in there, 45 cans of beans. You could survive a long time in bad circumstances.
I was about to say to him, I can think of one couple who could do something
but
like this.
The thing is, like, we don't know what's in it. It's like a dip in the bag.
Oh, so you think maybe this is a bank vault that has not been emptied? Do you think this person stole the bank vault, realized what they'd done, and are trying to sell it for $5,000 thinking?
Yeah, when they're talking about the mistake, they were like, oh my God, people always talk about breaking into a bank vault. No one ever just takes the vault. That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get 11 or 12 of my friends.
This is the dog that caught the car, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And then he gets the vault and he knocks on the wall and he goes, that's a bit solid.
How good would it be if they did another Oceans movie, but instead of them planning the heist, it was the aftermath and they're trying to figure out what to do with this bank vault that they've got, because they've just got no need for it. Like, we could turn it into a one-bedroom studio apartment. Maybe some sort
it
of,
could be a,
I don't know,
a cool trendy new bar.
But it's like Storage Wars. You know what I mean? Like, people bid on it. It's $5,000, right? Are you aware of the show Storage Wars?
Yeah, anything could be in there.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the title, but not the concept. So Storage Wars, people are bidding on abandoned storage containers.
Yeah.
It's a lucky dip for a dollar.
I think what it is, though, is they lift up the door of the storage unit, and you're allowed to see the front of it. And they might give you like some details, I think, of the person who owned it.
Yeah.
But you can't see the back. You can't see where
but
the stuff
the thing,
is, et cetera, et cetera.
Guy, Tim and Hing. That's a motorbike going by.
Great.
In Storage Wars, there's nothing to say it's not just a storage container full of wet cardboard and dildos, right? Like, that's something that people could store.
Yeah, and sometimes you get junk as well.
In a bank vault, there's a finite amount of things that people store in a bank vault. I'm talking money. I'm talking gold. I'm talking
deeds,
rubies,
to houses,
sapphires. Yeah.
Interesting.
Important documents. There's very little, actually, that you would store in a bank vault that is not desirable, almost by definition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no 45 cans of beans.
Very unlikely.
Doesn't also depend on the quality of the bank? Well, hey, you know what I mean?
Is it definitely secondhand? I'm not looking at the photo on purpose because I want to be the audience surrogate and assess whether you guys are doing a good enough, you know, audio description of what it looks like.
Look, it's a great question, Tim. I got to tell you, the door of the vault looks pretty bloody new. It's got
But the concrete has clearly been jackhammered out of somewhere.
Huh.
So out of a bank, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Any way you cut it, this is a pretty rare opportunity. Obviously, you'd want to be living pretty close to the seller with regards to the pickup.
Well, no, they're delivering it. They've said they're going to deliver it.
Give me the dimensions again.
Yep. 16 feet long, 11 feet wide, 10 feet tall. So imagine in terms of like a person, it's probably three people long and then sort of similar,
that is almost,
two people tall, two people wide.
I would guess only slightly bigger than the podcast studio I'm currently in, which is at my house. And I've got to say, for $5,000 for solid walls and stuff, that's actually pretty fucking tasty. That's not bad at all. If you could get some sort of air vac situation going on.
Do you have a backyard that you could just dump it in?
But it's already got the studio. So we'd have to dump it on top of the studio. So it'd just be a stronger version of the studio that we would crush the old studio with, which would be very cool and ceremonial, some sort of upgrade.
What would you... I mean, can you think of any non-podcast uses for a bank vault, though?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
I can think of one off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I'd store a lot of my valuable items.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, fuck you, Guy Montgomery. I'll join in on this. Ben just swore at you, and he said that he would have to refrain from any foul language because of his proximity to children, but he couldn't even let
annoyed.
That situation go.
Can I say this? Do you know, when I was walking around this morning, being like, I've got to go on this podcast today, I was like, this is a dynamic that is going to result in my being bullied. I was almost fearful picking up the microphone because I was like, these are three people who, for unique reasons, and I don't know what any of them are, have an axe to grind against Montgomery.
Do you think... Yeah. Okay, can I just pitch one last idea before we move on? Which is, what about the four of us go four ways in this bank vault and then the four of us start a bank?
do we between the four of us have any kind of the sort of qualifications you'd kind of be wanting at all in that?
Well, not yet, but once we get our hands on that vault, we might be looking pretty good.
I feel like any like you might have a university degree from Oxford or whatever the fuck.
I don't,
but I've got
actually.
A vault.
Who are you talking to?
Just the person who's arguing with me about my lack of qualifications.
Right, okay.
This is a hypothetical argument I've waded into, and the three of you are now also here with me. Back me up, guys. Back me up.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Don't know what your argument is or where you're going, so I'm just listening.
But I will say I despise your intelligent adversary.
Yeah.
This person's got their fancy degree from university.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're probably wearing a jumper around their shoulders tied up.
Yeah,
and
playing
chinos.
Golf on the weekends. You know, they own a yacht. Meanwhile, though, I've got a freaking bank vault. You're going to tell me that you're better qualified to run a bank than me?
I'm better qualified to run a bank than you, I say, wrapping my sweater around my collar, because I have intimate knowledge of JP Morgan's failed attempt to start a centralized bank in America using the destruction of the HMS Olympic posing as the Titanic in the early 20th century. These are my qualifications.
You know, Tim, if I cut out that bit at the top where we were talking about conspiracy theories, I could make you sound quite insane.
I think with the edit or not, I'm not coming across fully sound of mind, and that's fine.
Tim, do you have one for us?
Yeah, so the ad isn't as good as the story around it. For context, we've got this website in New Zealand called Neighbourly, and I'm pretty sure it's our own thing. It's not usually New Zealand gets thrown a crumb from big websites, big franchises. We get a spin-off here and there. We've got this thing Neighbourly, and the thing with Neighbourly is that a lot of people signed up out of curiosity when it started sort of 3-4 years ago. They have the most persistent emails. Like, I have requested to be have my account deleted, to be let off their emailing list. I'm not exaggerating, dozens of times. I've tweeted about them across multiple years. because I keep receiving their emails going, hey, do you want to know what your neighbors are up to? And me going, fucking no, I have told you so many times that I don't, and you are breaking the law. Like, you're not allowed to contact me anymore. I couldn't be more explicit.
And just to be, what does this website do? What is the function of this website? Aside from annoying you with emails.
It connects people who live close to you for like community stuff. So it could be market days, events, people looking for handymen, whatever.
There is a version in Australia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's called Neighbourly, but it's like, yeah, it's like, it's that, but it's also just snitching too, I find. Like, a lot of it is like snitching. Like, somebody's been filling my bins with the wrong recycling. Can we kill them as a group? Like, it gets quite out of hand.
Pitchforks, et cetera.
I just quickly ask, what's everyone's thoughts on putting your recycling in someone else's half full bin the morning of?
Totally fine.
I love it. The morning of. Get in.
I
get
reckon
in there.
Morning of depend. When's the pickup?
12 PM.
I'd be comfortable doing it at 11:30.
If it's on the street though, it's on the
yeah. Once, if it's on the street,
once the bin is outside of your fence, if there's a fence situation, I mean it's free reign there.
That's disgusting, and that's why that attitude is why society is currently at its knees just by the bloody sniffles. I'm telling you.
Are you kidding me? The solution to society's ills right now are more people being willing to share their bin space once it's on the curb. You self-centered capitalist pig. You don't need the space. You've put it on the fucking curb.
Okay. Do you know that once I put the bin out on the curb, because I, need to do it while I remember, I still generate garbage.
That's on you, dude.
No, Ben, what you are describing is entrapment. It's sick. I can imagine you peering through the gaps in your fence being like, we got him, boys.
Ben Jenkins only thinks about one thing and it's absolutely sick. I re-signed up to Neighbourly, putting my email... inbox in peril just for this podcast. So I hope you appreciate
it. That is rad.
Thank you so much.
But then I kind of ran out of time to find any ads. So this is the first one that I got that was sort of appropriate to bring up.
Okay.
Hi neighbors. I have my mom, M-O-M, in her 60s, but looks younger.
All right. Okay.
Here living with us for a while. She is a very energetic, positive woman who loves to do something productive. Anything. And then there's a smiley face emoji, which I had missed until right at this moment. I hadn't seen that before. I am wondering if you lovely neighbours could give me any ideas of what she could do in the hood, preferably in Mount Eden. She's very good in sewing and clothing alterations, cooking Persian cuisine, etc. Thank you in advance.
Well, I'm really confused by why it's important what she looks like if this isn't a, hey, do you want to date my mum?
Yeah, it definitely feels like a. I'm trying to set
it
my mum.
It doesn't sound like a date to me, Ben or Michael.
What do you mean?
It sounds. If it was a date, they'd be registering them with different language or on a different platform. This was, hey, my mum's here for a while. She's fit. She's really friendly. If you get what
so
I mean,
think, right?
You think it's just a hookup? You think it's no date?
I think that the sort of offers that this person is looking for their mum is D's nuts.
Fuck me, dude.
But why are you doing that?
And more importantly, the monstrous hog that rests atop them.
So you're suggesting it's a sort of a dinner and dancing situation with no dinner or dancing. That's the vibe.
Did I tell you guys that I used to live in an area when I used to we recorded the podcast there a couple of times in sort of a fancy bit of Sydney, and there was a lot of it was an older area, a lot of older people, and I used to go to a cafe to work sometimes, and there was this older lady, she's probably about 75 or so, and she was scrolling through Tinder one day, and she was like, oh, I don't know, and she was like having difficulty with it, and I was like, what are you doing there? And she was like, oh, it's Tinder. And I was like, can I please help you right now? And she was like, oh, thank you. And like, so we went through and she'd got...
So you went around the back of the cafe.
and she was like, okay, well, I've got this message, and I went through and I saw it. And she was like, well, what does this mean? What does friends with benefits mean? Because that's what he said he wanted. And I was like, oh, Leanne, that's like, he doesn't want... Like, she's like, does he... He's like, I don't really know. He just wants to have sex and nothing else. And she was like, oh, well, well, I've already agreed to have dinner with him. And I was like, well, you know, that's easy. Give it to me and I'll cancel it for you. And she was like, oh, well, the girl's got to eat.
Hell yeah. Get it, Leanne. Get it.
Yeah. And we had a lovely steak dinner.
What a great service to the community, Ben. Just looking for geriatrics who were and assisting them with their dating endeavors.
I could tell by the sparkle in his voice and the twinkle in his eye that Ben was not offering his services for the benefit of Leanne. He was prying.
That's the thing. In this message, there's a lot of... sort of, it's all going in one direction, the clues that are dropped, including the wink smile emoji. And it kind of has the structure of like she's looking for a job, but at no point ever mentions she's looking for work or employment or money or anything.
Do you think what's happened is this person's, their mum's moved back in and their mum is very, very forthright and was like, I gotta get it. Like, I gotta get it.
But if you're the mum, aren't there easier ways than asking your son to...
Maybe she's not technically literate, right? But then the child is like, oh, Christ, okay. I'm not... I draw the line at Tinder. I'm not signing you up for Tinder. That's just not gonna... That's... but I will go on this thing. And then she's like... The child's riding it and just like constantly pulling back from actually.
Yeah, the mum's like, tell them I want to fuck. Tell them that it's just, there's no pretense here, no dinner, no dancing. I'm DTF. It's like, I'm not riding that, mum. This is terrible that I'm doing this in the first place.
Right, great big hog. I'm not riding great big hog.
Mum, what I'll put is I'll put good at sewing and clothing alterations. No, put I want a big hog.
What if we compromise? What if I say you look young and I'll put a smiley face?
If you use a semicolon instead of a regular colon, you got yourself a deal.
Oh, what fun. Guys, this has been a joy. I can't believe we haven't had you on before.
As a duo.
Partly because we just don't like Guy very much.
Yeah.
That's been prime.
It's like, well, I think the good news is that in Tim you found another guest with the same vendetta, I guess.
Yeah.
You found it. You found someone, you know, with whom you share a kinship.
Well, this is the thing, Guy. Tim, Ben and I have been planning this for months, actually. Just a time, finding a time when you were free so that the three of us could really just go ham.
The great news is, guys, I can handle it. I'm tall timber. I got these big, strong legs. Mm-hmm. It's going to take more than a three young fucking bucks nipping around my ankles to cause me injury.
For the listener, a single tear is coming out of Guy's right eye and down his cheek.
Which the first of many, because tall trees know how to cry.
You guys have a podcast called The Worst Idea of All Time, which I listened to before I knew either of you, which is why it is quite a sincere joy to have you on this, our podcast. What have you done lately with that?
Well, we actually, 3 years ago, I'll tell you what we've done lately. 3 years ago, we made a pilot for YouTube Red, which doesn't exist anymore. The confusingly not pornographic premium content part of the website they had, which you had to buy a subscription to. And they commissioned us to do a pilot. They did not pick up the series, but we have recently obtained the permission to release it publicly. So we put it out less than a week ago. It's on YouTube. You search Worst Idea of All Time pilot, and it's getting some great... People are loving it. People are really loving it.
Yeah, I'm seeing people are going feral over it. It's amazing. I'll put the link in the description for this app, so you don't even need to bloody go to Google or YouTube and search an idiot.
The premise of the pilot, by the way, if anyone is listening and doesn't know who we are or is curious, is that Tim and I dismiss the history of film criticism and invent method film reviewing. So to review a movie, you must commit, eat, sleep, live, breathe the movie. And the movie we decide to do that for is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Fantastic.
Do you guys have anything else to plug?
I'm doing a web streaming show called Happening, which is a little bit cutesy, but I think it's what the world needs at the moment. It's basically just a platform for artists and comedians to send me shit, and then I just hang out with people twice a week for 90 minutes. So, search on Facebook for Happening Show.
I have watched it, and it's extremely enjoyable.
Thanks,
so
Ben.
You should. You're welcome.
And Guy, if anyone wants to see your massive hog, how would they go about that?
You can come on over to Mount Roskill, Auckland, New Zealand. The cops will tell you it's not allowed, but I will be standing out on my street corner, waving it around. If you keep a 2-meter distance, it's all above board.
Oh my goodness. And we have some we have a new episode of Dragon Friends that's out if you want to catch that. It was recorded in ISO and came up really, really good. Until next time, thanks so much for joining us, Tim Batt and Guy Montgomery.
A true pleasure.
We'll see you soon.
See you later. Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Bye bye. If you like pina coladas,
to me and escape.